We're going to go with some speakers. He's going to get them. So let's start. Oops, the thing is starting. I thought I turned it off. Okay, you two young ladies who are college students, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and where you're from? Speak up for those that can hear, we can't hear. Louder.
Speak loud.
Oh, okay.
Use your voice so that we can hear.
Yeah. I'm freshman. I'm European. And I'm from Japan.
Where in Japan?
Ibaraki.
Oh, yeah. I have been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, Ibaraki Christian College is there. And you?
I'm Brittany Williams, and I'm also a freshman here at ACU. And I'm for my social work class, I have to go to a session over something that has to do with social sciences and helping people. So I chose a session. I didn't know that there would be people that put it here.
It's okay.
That is part of what we're trying to do, because we have 40 orphans in Kenya who are deaf, and we're trying to raise them. Brand new project, and 5 years ago there was nothing there but a field of grass and weeds, and today hopefully you'll get to see the film of how that grew. And from nothing into something that's pretty special. Well, Jerry, why don't you just mention a few things about the project in general, since we've got a couple of people here that weren't here in the last hour.
Our church, if you look at us at the South Atlanta Mother's Church of Christ here in Abilene, has been working with deaf people in East Africa since 1983. And almost 30 years we've been seeing them. But we've established many, many deaf churches in Kenya and Uganda and Tanzania. But mostly concentrating in Kenya. The different churches have grown, and so we have helped to establish churches, to evangelize churches. And then in recent years, we've helped to grow church leaders, seminars so the church leaders. But about 5 or 6 years ago, the deaf leaders in the churches there said we really need help. And as Vernon had mentioned before, that the AIDS epidemic is just totally wiping out many families, husbands and wives, and leaving lots of children. There are no social services in Kenya. So it's just like in the Bible. If someone in your family dies, then your family takes the children in. And so you have one of our deaf leaders, you met him, Otieno, this last year. He's had two brothers and sisters-in-law that have died, and their children were left alone. He had to take them in. So he's a man who has, a deaf man who has 5 children of his own, 3 children from another family of his own, and 4 children from another family.
Great.
So basically, he's got 12 children now that he's responsible for. Just 2 months. And so the leader said, we need help.
Wonderful.
Because when you leave these children, if there happens to be a deaf child there, the families will take the hearing children. And with that child, they'll leave it. And that child, different things, somebody will take it into their home to become a slave, a house slave, or a sex slave, or something. Sometimes if it's a real small baby, they simply throw it on the trash heap in the garbage and they throw it away. Or else they just let it roam in the forest and let the animals have it. Or else they become, if it's a large town, they just become street children. And so the deaf people have no help. And so the leaders asked us to help. And so we decided that we needed to establish a deaf orphanage for the children there. So we began 5 years ago raising money and trying to get enough so that we could establish this organization called SAM. A member of our mission.
Doesn't have to be real long.
We named Sam Mac Reynolds. He was a mathematics teacher here at SCU and a member of our mission committee. When he died, he left us $80,000 as an endowment. I mean, money that we just put in and just put in interest on it. But of course, our economy.
I think it's going to work. Thanks for your help.
At least that money is still there. So we began raising other money to buy some land, to pay some lawyers, and finally to begin building buildings. And that's what Vernon talked about the last hour with how
we once you get the lights.
Finding money and collecting money, and we started this building. Now we're at a point this last June where we got our last children. We can only have 40 children.
Turn it out and see if he can. If we can see.
Children.
Maybe. Yeah, I think we're ready.
Right there's a good spot.
Perfect, in every way. Okay. Here we go.
Since our first 14 children arrived in November 2010, new deaf orphans have been added to our Sam's Place family. Today, 38 deaf orphans call Sam's Place their home. Here's our children up close and personal. Thing to my film.
I'm just telling her who the kids are.
Thank you.
Quit talking about yourself.
Traveled to Sam's place to begin a 5-month internship with our children there. She was the perfect person to be the first long-term intern at Sam's place. She has lived her life with a sense of service in everything she's done, at work or at church. She once said that she didn't much care for the material things of life, that it would be easy for her to drop everything to go to Africa, sell her car, move out of her apartment, leave all that was familiar and comfortable, and go to Sam's place. In March, she did just that. Mama Kim is currently living and serving at Sam's place, one more element of the dream and God's plan in the far western bush of Kenya. December, January. Ooh, it is unbelievable. Now, who is that?
Which pilot?
There's Immaculate. You can always tell her.
Kim and Jetty and Lucky and Sylvia.
Our children learn many subjects in school at Sam's place. Folk dancing is but one of our extracurricular subjects that gives students an opportunity to learn about their culture, participate in dance and music, and develop more fully as a person. Our teachers have already added folk dance to the daily class schedule, and this spring the students were ready to demonstrate what they had learned.
Thank you.
encourages teamwork, healthy living, and provides for a sense of well-being.
I don't know what a used
bus. Our teachers have opened this important door, and our children are thriving.
I noticed
recently the older children embarked on a trip to Siaya near Kisumu for the regional sports competition for deaf schools.
I've got a bid for it.
We had some winners in individual events.
But I think this is the next step we need to talk about what we need to do, so I can maybe get a challenge grant
from
Tulsa.
Having gone on their first trip and experienced a small taste of the bigger world outside Sam's place, what an adventure it was. Sent to me through the Dropbox.
Yeah. The pictures of the kids sitting on beds we took when we were there last. Mm-hmm.
Someone flip the lights, please. Okay, we have about 5 minutes. I thought we'd open it up for questions. Or any statements or anything.
I kind of have a culture question. I noticed everyone's head was shaved. Even the girls.
Mm-hmm. That was a punishment. They were bad and we shaved their heads. No.
It's because...
What the hell?
She's a too hot day.
Well, I think it's everywhere in Kenya.
It is hot there. But also it's for cleanliness. Mm-hmm. It's easy.
And all the students do it everywhere.
Yeah. They don't grow their hair out till they're in their adult years. But even a lot of adult women have either that or, well, like Grace Gaffner, she keeps a very her hair very closely cropped. She's the wife of one of our missionaries there. She's Kenyan. And so it's a very common thing. If you're walking in a city like Kisii or Nairobi, you would find a lot of women you would encounter older in their 30s, 40s, who are head shaven like that, or very close cropped, and it's more of a modern young thing for women to have hairdos and that kind of thing. And I think everywhere, it's the same thing in Kenya, that the younger generation is adopting a lot of the Western culture, and but especially in the rural areas where we're at, way out in the western bush, it's very different than what you find in Nairobi, city of millions, kind of thing. But children, high school children, even college children, are going to have their heads shaved like that. It's just a common thing. Good question, though. Good question.
I just thought it was an all-boys school, and then I was like, the other girl has a skirt on, so I just didn't know.
Yeah, she's Scottish. I have a hard time telling some of them apart.
She was there last summer, and of course, Kim lived there for 5 months, but she was there during June, and so she worked with them closely.
And she was part of a team that I assigned Kim and Jane and Billy Lovell, who's a deaf preacher. They went through the living spaces of all the children and did an evaluation report for me on what was needed improvements. They talked to the children and got an assessment of their mental state and whether they were happy and those kinds of things. It was the first time where we really began to assess some things about the life of the children at Sands Place. And this three-person team was made up of two deaf people and someone who's a deaf educator aide, kind of, that knows signs very well. And none of us general hearing people were involved in that. And so the report was generated. And so we're still sifting through that, but it will help us make changes and make improvements, provide some additional things for children that we might not thought of. And we still have the Kenyan culture to deal with, because up in their rooms, there's still physical things that are not finished. And one of my goals for 2013 team is to try to get all that done. It's sort of a Kenyan cultural thing where, you know, to finish out this room, we had to have the molding just right and all of this. They don't bother with all that. And so it's always sort of half done. It just drives me crazy. But anyway, that's something that we're going to have to work on. Now, we're also interviewing in the fall. We're looking for a few good ACU students to become a member of the 2013 team. to come to Willis in the spring for special sign language classes on Sunday morning during Bible class. So spread the word, and we'll be getting ready to do that, and we'll have some handouts available for anyone that's interested, but we're still, it'll probably be November before we do this, so that we can make our selections and the kids can go back to home congregations, and we'll teach them how to do fundraising to raise the funds and so on, so that they can become a part of the team and actually be at Sam's Place and work with these children and help raise them up. Any other questions or statements? I think we're about, I think it's 10:45 and it's the end. Well, thanks for everybody coming. I'm glad we got to watch that again. It's been since April since I've seen it, and it reminded me of some things. I enjoyed this doing this one because this was one where we got to kind of see all the children and the first real glimpse of their well-being and how things were working. I went with Kim. I took her to Kenya in March as part of my oversight trip, and then left her there and then came back. And then the next month we had Mission Emphasis Week at Willis, and I produced this film. And that's why it was sort of up to date this year, because it had Kim in there. It had photographs that Kim took herself and then emailed back to me through the computer. And so when we had Mission Emphasis Week and the congregation saw this, and this, by the way, this film is up on our website. Our web address is on the back here. If you want to look at the films, we've got the last two films, this one and the one the year before. It's on the back, this little oval thing. See the little oval thing down there? It's always on our publication. And the one we showed last night will go up on the web. It's the most recent one. It'll go up on the web sometime in the next few days. So you can always just click on it and watch it on your computer anytime you want to. Okay, thanks a lot. There'll be a test on Monday.